get ready. It's time for the podcast.
Welcome back to the Candy Colored Studio. I'm artist Katrina Berg. This is episode 165, and we have such a treat for you today. We have Tracy Ann Holmes here. She is an artist that I have just recently got to know and adore. And welcome, Tracy. So happy to have you. Yeah. Good to be here. Well, I have to tell you listeners, just so you know, I had another humbling moment, and it's always nice when everyone realizes that things don't always go as planned. And so just so you know that Tracy and I are having like a conversation. We're having an extended conversation, and Tracy has been awesome. But Tracy is in the Certain Women art show up in Salt Lake right now. One of her ceramic pieces is in the show, and I fell in love with it, and so I reached out to her, and she lives in Arizona. So this is very special because I've never run into Tracy before, and this is so much fun. So again, welcome, Tracy. And we would love to hear all about you. So share about anything you want to share about your background, your family, where you live. Yeah, whatever you'd like to share.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Napa, California, and fell in love with lots of rolling hills and big oak trees. And then I did school at BYU and in Utah, and then lived in North Carolina for a bit, and now live in Arizona, Tucson, Arizona. And I've been here for about 16 years. So we have two children, and they are teenagers. And then that's the basics. And
Well, just to give you a little bit more, now that I know more about Tracy, she and her husband didn't grow up too far from each other, but I love the part where you talked about the letters.
Oh, yes. We met at a church youth conference when we were 16 and 17, and it was pre-texting days. And so we wrote letters. We lived about an hour away from each other. And at that time, that was a long distance phone call, so we could not call without it costing lots of money. So we wrote weekly letters. And so we have about 5 years of those in a big binder before we got married. And we're now coming up on our 27th wedding anniversary.
Oh, so great. Well, congratulations. And when is your anniversary? Is it this fall, winter?
It's in December.
In December. Oh, that's special. Well, I just love the idea of love letters. And clearly that's where your relationship started, in this whole adventure, the two of you together on this creative journey. And I believe you said your teenagers are what, sophomore and senior? Is that right?
Yes.
Which is so awesome. So a little bit more about your family. Obviously you're an artist. Your husband, you said, is a scientist. Mm-hmm. And what kind of science does he do? Remind me.
He works, he's a biologist, and he works for a company that does cancer diagnostics. And so he helps with that. So.
That's awesome. Well, we definitely need him these days. That's for sure. And you mentioned that both of your teenagers are creative, and Tracy was telling me that they just recently made their Halloween costumes. Do you want to tell them about that?
Yes, was awesome. Both my sons are very creative. I have my oldest loves to do drawings on the Procreate app, and then loves to paint and draw. And then my youngest son is a Lego master and build some amazing things. And then, so we've kind of had a tradition that every Halloween, they're like, cool, mom's an artist, she can make us anything. And along with birthday cakes that are absolutely crazy. And this year, my son created a kind of a steampunk, my youngest created like a steampunk character, and we built him a fun mask and some armor for his arms and goggles and the whole works. And then my oldest did a Captain Hook, and his friend was Tinkerbell, or not Tinkerbell, his friend was Peter Pan. And then we did a little Tinkerbell hanging in the lanterns and put bells inside the lantern so he can shake it on his hook and then make Tinkerbell sound mad.
That is so awesome. I'm not going to let my kids hear this part because I don't want to have any of those expectations. No, I'm just kidding. No, but for real, that's amazing. That is so fun. And I love that it's this tradition that you and your teenagers and your husband, like it's something that you guys get to do together every year. Yes. That's really and special.
Mom's costumes have become less elaborate because I've spent all the time on the kids. But
right,
we did do a family 2 years ago. We did all family steampunk and that was super fun. So that's
awesome.
That was fun.
That is fun. That's so great. Well, as you can tell, Tracy is very multifaceted with her creating. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey, about all the different things that you create, the different mediums that you use, because I have to say you are kind of unique. There's lots of artists that dabble in different mediums, but you put forth a strong effort in all of your mediums, which I find extremely just empowering and beautiful. And yeah, so go ahead.
Yeah, I have always needed to doodle and literally got in trouble in kindergarten for drawing while the teacher was talking, and did always super excited when it was a drawing project for class. And then high school, did art all 4 years, and program university, art education, ceramics. The BYU is, I'm not sure how unusual it is, but has what's called the Bauhaus approach, where they have you do all different classes. And so I took a watercolor class, a drawing class, printmaking class, sculpture class, and ceramics class. And I was able to, you know, dabble in all of these different things, which was fabulous. And I had really focusing on drawing and painting. And that's what I thought would be where I was going, but then I experienced ceramics and just fell in love. And so that's my kind of main favorite media, but watercolor is a close second. I really enjoy that. And when I was in high school, my art teacher was very good at teaching how to draw and paint very realistically. And so I was able to do things really photographic, but often had things just kind of lose their life because it was just, I over illustrated it. And so with a lot of help from my BFA advisor, Von Allen, she helped me say, Tracy, stop being so literal. And out a lot more going on and not just hand it to them on a plate. And so watercolors, I love because I can still do kind of super realistic with some spontaneity and whimsy. I love to see what the washes are going to do. It's just so fun to fill a little area with water and then just drop the color in and just see where it's going to go. And so I love doing portraits in watercolor and in pencil. I enjoy acrylic, but it's also a little less forgiving for trying to be spontaneous. And So I think my more powerful works are in watercolor and in ceramics. So.
Right. And I just think it's so, well, for me personally, I love that you are so willing to allow for that spontaneity and the freedom and also not having any control with the watercolor. Obviously you do have some control, but there's a lot of points where you don't, and yet you do that. And then you do the ceramic where you really are. It's a totally different medium because you are in control for the most part. From your work, that it's so, It feels very purposeful. It does not feel like you're just letting it do whatever it wants. And I love that you can express yourself in both of those ways, depending on whatever it is that you're feeling, you know, where you want to go with your vision.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, my painting and drawing is when there's some satisfaction, you know, drawing and getting it to look just like the thing it is. It's just kind of accomplishment of I created a cell of this thing. And whereas my ceramic work is more my soul work. It's when I have emotional things that I need to work through and or concepts I'm trying to grasp. And I use my ceramics as my personal art therapy.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. I love it. Well, should we go ahead and let you start sharing some of, sure. Do you want to share some sure. of your, let's see yeah. if we can get it to work. We got it to work last time.
All right. I think I've got it.
Oh yeah. Okay. Beautiful.
All right. So this is, for those of you who are listening, this is some of my work from my Bachelor of Fine Arts final show. So basically to get your degree, you have to do a gallery setting showing of your pieces. And so I had 13 or 14 full-size pieces in this theme. Wow. And the theme I chose was, or the title of my show was Eve's Mini Corsets. And I was dealing with on trying to understand kind of the natural beauty of women represented as Eve, with lots of imagery of fruits and leaves and plants and infants. And then also, you know, there's some serpents in there, and just Eve is naturally beautiful and all the different things that she went through. And then the mini corsets aspect is that we as women are naturally beautiful, but we feel like we have to hurt ourselves to be beautiful. And mm-hmm. with this day and age, it's still very much a reality of our culture that women are so insecure in body image. And so I did a lot of research. My pictures, these are figurative without, it's almost like they're just the clothing themselves without the bodies in them. And so I have one piece that has two sides, and it's this kind of floral bodice, and it has an infant on it. And then the opposite side is a corseted woman on the other side, kind of pulling away. And then I also have a sculpture. It looks like it's metal, but it's just the glaze that I used on the clay, and it's metallic. And in my research, I found out that the Medici family women were trying to get down to either a 13 or 15 inch waist, something ridiculous. And they actually invented iron corsets, which is just like the most awful thing ever. And so I have this piece, but then I had also pieces where I had the corsets rusted and opened, like, okay, we're putting this behind us. We're going to escape from this type of torture for our bodies, because we are beautiful anyways. So
what I find so interesting is that, okay, so what year did you graduate from BYU, Tracy?
I graduated in 98.
Yeah, 98. And again, this is so relevant right now. I feel like this, you know, I was actually at BYU at that time, and I was feeling some of these feelings, but I know that my daughter feels the same way. And I know that, you know, friends, her friends, my friends, we are feeling the same things. And so I love how timeless and relevant all of these ideas are. And you're right. When I saw the corset that you kind of glazed to look like metal, it really does look like metal. And even the bottom, you know, the detail piece with the serpent, it almost has a metallic feel mm-hmm. as well. And yet, I don't know, it's just, it's very beautiful, but then you can also see the fabric and it looks like it could be real fabric. You could go up and touch the softness of it just from the appearance. But I know if I touched it, it would be soft.
On my website, under my ceramics gallery, if you scroll to the bottom, you'll see my BFA slides. I have those nice. In there of some of the different corsets that I build. And I had fun taking molds of buttons and buckles. I actually took molds of actual hinges to put on my ceramic pieces. And you can't really, I think it's the other side of that piece, but one side of it actually has a zipper that nice. I carved out of clay going up the side. And so I had fun with lots of details and, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of symbology in it as well. The detail at the bottom, you see an infant's foot on top of a serpent, and it's mm-hmm. the biblical, you know, talking about how you will have the power to crush the head of the serpent.
Yeah.
And so,
wow.
So there are serpents in our lives. That's where we are given the power to get past that. So,
well, these are beautiful. And this is 1, 2, 3, 4 of your, obviously your final project, but how many of these pieces within the series are still available or did you sell them all long ago?
These have been sold a long time ago, and the one on the top left, I'm keeping as kind of my piece of the show. So, but I have some other pieces I will be showing that are available.
Okay, great.
And I was talking about how my ceramics are my art therapy, and that this next piece I'm showing, it's a female figure. It's 3/4 from hips up, and it's a woman, and she's got like her hair is like this turbulent storm of waves, and she's got this ship adrift on her waves crashing around, and then she's got waves churning around her waist as well, and then she's hanging on for dear life on this anchor, and this piece is entitled Anchor Me. And this was done when my youngest son was dealing with a heart infection, and we were in and out of the hospital and had to do, he had to have open heart surgery. Luckily, he's in great health now, but this piece was how my faith was my anchor and I could be calm during the storm. And so that's what this piece represents. It has been purchased, but this is another detail, a close-up of the face and the boat, so you can see the kind of the churning waters. So, but even though she's got all this going on, she's got a calm look on her face. So
yeah, that's what really struck me, is that she is so extremely peaceful. Her shoulders are relaxed. Her arms are relaxed. Even though they're gripping onto the anchor, she is just completely at peace. It doesn't, and her hair is completely wild. I love it. It's so great. The waves are just, you know, they're just totally wild. And the coloring, I love the color. Those of you that know I love color, the color is absolutely stunning. Yes. And the hat, I mean, her ship hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's glazed in a celadon blue. So it's kind of a see-through. I wanted her to look like she was underwater.
She totally looks like she's underwater. It's amazing. It's such a gorgeous piece. Yeah.
And so another piece that deals with kind of emotions and kind of the different stages of your life. This is called I Know Why My Caged Bird Sings. And it is a woman with a torso that's actually a metal bird cage. And she's got a little bird suspended inside of it that's got its beak open and it's singing. And she's got her arms kind of grabbed behind her And this was my nod to Maya Angelou, which I love her writing and mm-hmm. her power and her ability to speak for women who have been through hard things. And so mm-hmm. for me, this represents, you know, there's a lot of time as a creative that you want to be doing more and you sometimes feel a bit caged because of other responsibilities, but she's patiently waiting her turn to let this bird loose and to sing. And, you know, now that my kids are teens, I've had a, you know, market increase in what I've been able to do as my yeah. kids are more independent. And I've been able to be a lot more productive with my artwork.
It's incredible. And just to give you a few more descriptions again, once again, this woman is looking upwards very calmly, despite the fact that she's in a lot of turbulence within her life. She's feeling the challenges of her season, but she's looking up calmly. Like Tracy said, she's holding her arm in the back, just kind of pondering and thinking. I keep thinking about President Nelson and how he talks a lot about that myopic, the, you know, just kind of seeing beyond. And that's what your pieces do for me. I feel like they really invite us to look beyond just what's immediately in front of us.
And then I'm going to go to I'm actually going to skip this right now and go to, this is a piece that I did for the church's international art competition. And this was, based on a talk, by Bruce R. McConkie, and it's called The Three Gardens of God. And Katrina's going to put that in the comments so you can read the article, but it's a beautiful talk, and it talks about how all the important things of the plan of salvation and the plan of God happened at gardens. And the first garden was, of course, the Garden of Eden, and that's where the fall happened. And so I created a peach with a bite mark out of it. And that represents my forbidden fruit. And I've never been tempted by, apples are okay, but peaches are amazing. And so I thought the forbidden fruit would definitely be a peach. And then the second garden is the Garden of Gethsemane, where Christ suffered for our sins. And to represent the Garden of Gethsemane, which was a grove of olives, I did a sprig of olive branch. And then the most important all, where Christ conquered death, the Garden of the Empty Tomb. And in the scriptures, you read about how they found a linen cloth wrapped at his burial site. And it wasn't like Christ wasn't just resurrected. He neatly folded up his head cloth.
Yes.
And so yes. This piece is the composition is basically a folded piece of cloth with a bit piece of fruit and a sprig of olive across it. It's mm-hmm. all done in porcelain, and porcelain has this gorgeous ability to fold just like fabric because it's such fine particulate matter in it. And then you can do these really lacy little leaves. And the fabric, I actually found a linen tablecloth that I pressed into the fabric to get texture.
Yeah.
And then bright porcelainness of each of these. That's that piece. So.
Oh, I love this piece. You know, what's interesting to me is that the texture is so vivid with the sprig as well as the cloth. And yet the peach is, it's almost got that perfect polished, so enticing, right? And you said you actually bit into it.
Yes, I did. I was like, okay, I could carve it to look like a bite mark, or I could just bite it really quick. And the piece is hollow, but I made it thick enough on the one section so that I could take a bite out of it and, you know, spit it out quick and rinse your mouth because it's very gritty.
There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in this piece, everyone.
Exactly.
Oh man, it's amazing. And then did this one sell at the church exhibit, or is this one available?
The church actually bought this piece. So this one actually belongs to the church. I have another piece that I did for another international art competition. I'm going to pull that one up really quick. Hang on.
Yeah, you're fine.
And
you do a lot of commissions. So if people see these pieces and they would like to have something within the series, they can just reach out to you, right? Yes, Tracy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let me see. This is the one I did for, it's opening. Give me one second.
You're fine. So was this the Three Gardens was in the most recent
church? This is the Three Gardens. No, this one was maybe about 9 years.
Okay.
I think it was 9 years ago. Then six, because they do it every 3 years. And then 6 years ago, we did, I'm seeing why it won't open for me. The other piece that I did, I'm going to stop the share for a second.
Yeah, you're fine. Maybe that'll help. Let
me open it. So.
Oh yeah, you're probably right.
The next piece that I did it's called "He Died That We Might Live," and it is a piece on the atonement. Or the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to describe it, and I'll still keep trying to get it up. I carved, it's like a piece of the cross, and carved the wood with all the burls, and then it looks like it's a piece of wood that's kind of been broken off.
Okay.
And then it has draped over it the fabric, like the robe that Christ wore when they were taking him to be sacrificed. And then on top of it, it has the crown of thorns sitting on it.
Wow.
And then in the folds of the fabric are the nails. And once again, it's all done in porcelain. Fired just in the white, because I love the brightness of porcelain, and it just makes things look sacred. And
totally,
it's let's see if I can get this to open for me.
So did you say that one was still available, or that one sold as well?
I actually do have that one available.
And, cool.
I will come back to that.
That's fine. And you could always send me the picture, and I can add it to the show notes if we can't get it to go up. So that's totally fine.
Yeah. And so a few other,
what's the one that you're waiting to go through the second round? You're waiting to find out if it goes.
That one is called "Partake of His Goodness." And, I have it in the second juring round for the Church International Art Competition. And it has a picture of a woman reaching for fruits. And it's called "Partake of His Goodness." And I'm going to see if I can get it opened up for us as well.
Yeah. Is that one another 3D, or is that one a mural?
This one's a tile mural.
Cool. I'm so excited to see that one, Tracy. I'm surprised we haven't heard back yet, because Heather said that they were done jurying. Did you get to listen to Heather's talk at the Certain Women?
Oh, I haven't got to talk to it yet.
So Heather and Rose were both on the jury this year, and they said they finished their portion. It's now been a week and a half, I think. So they're just kind of going through, I guess they have to go through correlation and then we'll know. So
got it.
But all right, yeah.
I got things to open for me now. Okay.
Oh, good.
So, all right. Let's see. Here's the He Died That We Might Live piece.
Oh yeah. That's amazing.
And so this is a little bit smaller than the original. And the original has sold, but I made another as
cool.
Well.
Yeah, I love those nails. They're nice and hefty, and they look exactly like what we would have seen at that time period.
And then I'm going to go to one of some of my other work. This is called Peacock Royalty. And yeah,
I like
she is my kind of homage to beautiful women.
Yeah.
And this peacock is being kind of a robe to her, and she's grabbing its feathers and wrapping it around her. She's all in white, and then the peacock is in its all its original kind of glorious colors. So and then another piece that is called, and this one is also available, it's called Precarious Balance. This is my ode to women. Is it sharing right now?
It's not. Let's see.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
I'm going back.
Yeah, yeah. Let's look at the peacock one, because they need to see the peacock on top of her head. You do such a good job of placing everything on their heads, just so you know. It's always...
I think it's just a little bit about all the different things that kind of weigh us down, or, you know, we're proud of. And
yeah,
I love birds. I use them a lot in imagery. I remember hearing an adage of, if a bird lands on your head, you're not responsible, but if you let it nest there, you are. And so ever since then, I've been doing lots of birds on people's heads. And so sometimes they're nesting, and, you know, it's, and then this is the other view.
Oh, it's stunning. It's so beautiful. Yeah, and I love that. I love that peacocks
and represent then
royalty. That's beautiful.
And then this is called Precarious Balance, and this is a woman that has a pile of all kinds of randoms sing it, and it's a very fun homage to motherhood and all the tasks that we take on as mothers. So there's a prickly pear paddle in there, there's a lemon, there's a pomegranate, some rocks and twigs, and just a little bit of everything that's just representing all the kind of craziness of her life. So.
And just for those of you that can't see this one, she's actually glazed it with like a bronze, you called it a bronze glaze.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little bit different, but it's really, I love, it's very special, just, you know, in the bronze, and it has all the fun bubbles. I love the bubbles.
Yeah.
It's a totally different texture once you do that.
The thing is too, with ceramics, you just kind of pray to the kiln gods that they'll be kind to you, because you never know what you're going to open the door to, especially with glazes, because
yeah,
something you've used time and time again, it can turn out totally differently in your next firing and just be like, what happened?
So that's kind of the watercolor added to your ceramic, right?
Exactly.
That's where you're letting go, because you just say, okay, whatever it's meant to be, that's what's going to come out.
Yeah. And my most recent piece, I'm just finishing this one up. This one was a commission. They loved my piece, Our Mother, from Certain Women. And I kept some of the same elements, but this is for my friend that's from South Africa. And South Africa is national flower is the protea, which
yes,
the queen, they are the craziest, coolest looking flower ever. And so here are some of my details of my flowers. Her head, she's reaching up and she's placing these flowers in her hair. Mm-hmm. And then her one hand is relaxed. She'll have a stem of, I'm actually trying a pincushion protea, which if you know what those are, it's like, I don't know why I'm trying to do this in clay. It's like,
yeah,
I had to try.
The big one is the queen protea. Yes. That's the one that mm-hmm. I paint the most, but you're right. The pincushion one is so intricate and
yeah. And if you underneath it, you can see there's a little ball with polka dots in it. And that's mm-hmm. what I'm doing. And then I extruded a whole bunch of little tiny strings of clay and put little balls on them. And then I'm going to glue them in after they fire because it wouldn't survive the firing.
Yes.
So we'll see how that comes out. So I'll have that posted to my website when I get it completed. So,
that's so
exciting. Then, let me show you the piece for the International Art Competition. This is a large tile mural. And I used a white clay and then it was all are alike unto God the scripture also has partake of his goodness. And I used clay because we are the clay of the earth. All are alike unto God. We're all made of the clay. And and then I wanted the fruit to represent the tree of life. And so what I did is I did an iron oxide wash over the entire thing, except I put wax resist on the fruit so that they would be the bright white of the natural clay. And so it fires with this lovely kind of monochromatic, almost a sepia tone look. And it's a relief carved of this woman stretching up to the trees to pluck the fruit. And she's got a beautiful basket on her arms and it's framed in a large frame. And so that's in the jury currently. So we'll see.
Gorgeous. I'm so excited to see that one. That's going to be great. And how big is that one, Tracy?
That one is about 3 foot by, probably about 2.5 feet mm-hmm. by 4 feet, probably.
Okay. Yeah.
It's really heavy.
Bet. So did you deliver that one when you brought up your Certain Women piece? Did you bring them both? Yeah, that makes sense.
What we did is we have family up in Utah and we did a road trip up that I brought that piece up and it got to hang in my sister-in-law's house for a few months until I found out if I got into the jury.
Yeah.
Husband came up few months later for our nephew's wedding and he carried the Certain Women piece on the plane in the box. And then he went and picked this one up from my sister-in-law, dropped that one off at the Church History Museum and then dropped the other off at Anthony's. So,
oh my gosh, it's such an adventure. And it just goes to show that there so much of this creative journey really does involve our families, doesn't it?
Yes.
Even if it's just our in-laws that are storing it and enjoying it, right?
Yep. And do we want to talk about
Certain Women piece? Yeah. Why don't you unshare and I'll pull up my screen. I think I can find them a lot quicker now that I kind of know where they are.
Yeah. So I've got my piece up. And,
oh yeah. Yeah. Let's do yours first.
And then this piece is entitled Our Mother, and just kind of the background of Certain Women. It's an invitational and they invite a certain number of women and say, this is the theme. And we want you to create a brand new work specifically for this show. We can't just, go and grab whatever. We want it specifically made on this theme. And they sent a fabulous article on by Val Larson. The theme was Heavenly Mother. And Val Larson wrote this beautiful article about how Heavenly Mother is hidden in plain sight and how she's all throughout the scriptures, and she's, you know, representative as the tree of life, the tree of knowledge, and also that she was anciently among the Jews was worshipped along with a heavenly family, a father, a son, and a heavenly mother. Mm-hmm. And in those representations, they have her as though she is, her torso is a tree and her upper body is, you know, female, and that fruit tree. My torso is all covered in bark, and she once again a porcelain white to represent her sacredness. Mm-hmm. And then in her hand she is cupping a handful of olives, and those olives also represent Gethsemane and also represent us as our children, her children. We are her fruit. Mm-hmm. And in her hair, there is the leaves of the olive, and the olive flowers are all in her hair. So that's the basics of that piece.
Oh, it's just so beautiful. And she's so peaceful, and she just looks like she's full of love and wisdom and grace and all the things that we aspire to be as women, that our mother, you know, that she envelops all those things. You so beautifully captured so many of the traits that I consider when I think about her. Mm-hmm. And I think I told you this before, but I feel like when I first saw this piece, I could just feel the love and the emotion specifically that you put into the piece, but then also that I feel like she's constantly trying to offer us. And so here she is offering these, the fruit of the olive, but then also offering her goodness, her love, her light, her creation, and just the opportunity that we can be like her. I feel like you can feel all those things in your piece. So it's just amazing.
I think that was the beauty of this show, is we found out through the speaker that came in, and she talked about how it's nowhere in our canon that we need to, we don't talk about Heavenly Mother because she's too sacred to talk about. That's nowhere in our canon. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. And this show has been, hey, here we are. We can open up. We can talk about this. This is how we feel about our mother and this sacred union of Godhood. And this article also talked about how the word Elohim, which, you know, is translated as God, is actually plural. And Heavenly Mother is Ella, and Heavenly Father is Elo, and those together are Elohim. And so it's joint, and this fabulous partnership, which created this beautiful place that we live on.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful show. In fact, Tracy offered to share some of her favorite pieces. Are you ready to do that?
Yes, let me stop with my share.
Okay, and I'm going to try to share mine. Okay, so share screen. Okay, let's see. Should we start with this one? Because it's already
up. Yes, it's up. Yes, absolutely. So this is a piece by Linda Etherington. Sorry, it's called Teach Them to Love One Another. And I absolutely love this piece. I love that she so perfectly captures the joy it is to nurture your child, and the joy it is to give them the sustenance that you need. For me, breastfeeding was a very sacred experience, and just being able to provide what your child needs. And then that look that the child has looking up to her mother of just am so for me. Do this with our own children. That's what Heavenly Mother, she's looking down on us like this as well. And Linda has all these fabulously bright colors, and she uses a strong cobalt blue to outline her figures, and has, yeah, it's a gorgeous piece.
Yes, it's amazing. And just a couple other things that I love about her piece and all the pieces that I've seen Linda do, she will write little words. She'll put letters. She'll kind of hide them throughout her piece. She also loves to hide birds. Sometimes they're more prominent than others, but I see a lot of little birds and creatures. I've seen some with like worms and all kinds of fun little, you know, parts of life. And I think that pretty much anything Linda does could definitely represent our divine feminine, just because she really does her artwork exemplifies creation. And so I feel like, yeah, I love all the things that you talked about though. The halos with the bright colors. I mean, it's not a typical halo that you typically see in religious artwork, but it's so fun. And
more like an aura.
More like an aura halo. That's a beautiful description. I love that. Okay, let's find another one. We'll probably
just start scrolling.
Yeah, we'll just scroll down to one of the ones. Like, yeah. Okay, oh, look, here's yours. There's yours.
Hi, there I am.
And you just tell me, I don't think I'm going to pass any of them now that I know kind of where they are, but.
All right, we're coming up. I know we're coming up.
Here, Kathy. Okay, yes, Kathy's.
Yeah, Kathy Erdman's. This is called Heaven Weeps and Heaven Reaches. And for those of you that are listening, it's two figures. They're kind of joined at the hair, joined at the shoulder, and they're both representations of Heavenly Mother. One, she has her face cradled in her hands as though and it's such a beautiful representation of the mother shows us. And so this is, yeah, just beautifully done. It's glazed in a white and on a gray pedestal. And it's just a really striking piece. The gesture is just so spot on.
Yeah, she's right. The movement and gesture really is great. And I love that. You know, I love that yours is more raw. I love the raw quality. And then I love that hers is shiny. And I love how they each fit perfectly with what they're trying to do, right?
Yeah.
So beautiful. Okay. Let's see who's next here. Let's see. Oh, so many good ones, you guys. There's 140 pieces. So, oh, here we go.
Website and see it. Yes. Yes. Okay. So this one is Susanna Isabel Silva, and it's called The Earth Rolls on Its Wings. And this is a white paper with a kind of a rust background, and it's all intricately carved paper that's been pierce cut. And in my ceramics, I love to do pierce work in some of my BFA work, where I'll carve all the way through the clay and like to do lacy stuff that's all interlocked together. And she has mastered this with an X-Acto knife. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And it's beautifully geometric. To me, it represents creation, there's interlocking circles and looks like spiraling clouds and all these different kind of strings of little beads that are kind of going down into the center. And it's like this powerful kind of explosion from the center. So.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Like you say, I think I could spend a lifetime and not reach the delicate intricacies of these cuts, you know?
Yes. Yes.
It's amazing. Amazing. Okay, let's see.
And then
Are we looking for Stacy's? Or do we have
two? Yeah, we're looking for Stacy and then Rose.
Oh, and Rose. There's Rose. Okay, we'll do Rose.
Okay, so this is Rose Dadigdahl's The Veil is Beginning to Burst. And it's circular composition. And there's these sweeping curtains kind of blowing open. Mm-hmm. And inside you see Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. And it's just this fabulous imagery of the two of them standing there together as partners. And she's not less than, they're just equals, and they're working together and looking down on their creations. And the composition is just fantastic. It's kind of like pale pinks and light blues, kind of monochromatic yet not, but if you're familiar with Rose's work, she does some really interesting colors with very strong design lines surrounding her subjects.
Yeah, this is a beautiful piece. Absolutely amazing. And you're right, so much movement. I love how delicately, even though you can tell that they have so much power as they break the veil, it's also so beautifully and delicately done, right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How that happens, I don't know, but only they can do it. It's beautiful. Okay, and we've got one more. Let's see. Oh, that's not it. Oh, I must have missed it. Sorry, Stacy. We know you're in here.
I think it's up at the very top.
Oh, maybe we just missed it because we started. Oh, I bet you're right. Okay, hold on. Here comes Stacy's piece.
Look at all those beautiful.
Oh, there she is. So many beautiful pieces.
All right, this piece is by Stacy Minch, and it's dark-haired female form, and she has the galaxy behind her, a moon and the earth, and she is just has her head tilted forward and this just look of absolute despair on her face. Her eyes are closed and she's got her hands covering her ears, and it's called The Cries in the Night. And we've all that have been mothers have been up sleepless nights when our kids are hurting or going through hard things or making difficult choices. And sometimes all you can do is, I have to let them navigate this on their own, but it's really hard to let them navigate this on their own. And I see that look on her face of, I can't listen to the crying anymore because I need to let them experience this lively experience and move forward. So powerful, powerful piece.
So powerful. Yeah. Something that I love too, that I shared with Tracy earlier, is that I've seen a lot of Stacy's work, and her stuff is amazing. And this feels, she took it to a new direction with her artwork. And I love that about this particular show, Certain Women. Like Tracy said, women were asked to create pieces specifically for the show. And I noticed how so many women either took a new facet of something that they've been doing, or they started a whole new series, or just tried to experiment on something that they had never tried before. And this painting by Stacy just really exemplifies that sometimes it's important to try new things and find new ways to express things creatively, even though we're so comfortable in our little spheres. I love that she took a chance and did something totally different.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and stop and share. And I feel like there's so many things. There were a couple things that I was thinking about, but I would love to hear. I feel like I kind of skipped some of the things before, but let's talk for just a minute about just being a creative. And you gave, you shared with me
for a second.
Oh, did it? It froze. Okay. So I would love to have you share. You shared with me some of the things that that you do so that you can still create. And this idea that even though we all have 24 hours, sometimes we have to carefully choose or we have to give up things. And you gave some really great advice as what works for you.
Yeah. First of all, I discovered very soon on that I'm not a very good wife or mother if I don't have creative time. If I don't get that time to express myself and to do any of that, I have a really hard time being present. Mm-hmm. And so I have to give myself mental breaks. Quiet time by myself is incredibly important. That was the hardest thing about the pandemic when everybody in our household was home 24/7. And it was like, can I go by myself to the grocery store, please? And so, but I learned that it was okay to go upstairs and lock my door, and the house was not going to burn down. I could go upstairs and work on something. I could go, my ceramic studio is on my back porch. I could go outside. And nobody else is going to want to go out there anyway. So I'm going to go out there and work and have some quiet time, plug into my favorite audiobook. But I also, my family is, you know, my number one. And my faith is also high up priority. And I reserve my Sundays for my Sabbath. Having that day of rest makes it so that I can be creative. And I just finished a calling as Relief Society president, which definitely pushed me beyond anything I've ever done. It, you know, I have a fabulous group of ladies I work with, but I also scheduled time. And, you know, I would tell my counselors, I'm not going to be available. And then put my phone in airplane mode so that I could get my projects done. I could get my commissions done. I could get what, because that's my job. And, you know, a lot of times people think, oh, you're at home, you can do this. And, but when you work at home and it's your job to be creative, you just have to schedule the time. And that means saying no to some things. And, you know, I did some PTO stuff when the kids were really young, and, then just, you know, there were times when I'm like, okay, I can help with one event a year, and I will help with the decorations for the book fair. And so that's what I did. And I've just learned it's okay to say no.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I love that you work so hard at assessing your priorities, that you schedule time for the things that are important, and you make sure that, like you said, your faith, your family, your work, you make sure that those are right there. And yet you make sure that everything, you know, you take the time to get things done, and you, it's okay to say no. I think that's a hard thing for we as women in general to realize that it is okay to say no. And yeah,
absolutely. Well, and I think too, with the pandemic, everybody's, I mean, it's okay to mourn what we lost during the pandemic. It is totally okay to mourn it, because there was so much of what was normal was just gone. And I just felt there's so much malaise, and I'm like, okay, this is not, I mean, I'm here with my family. I've got enough to eat. I've got everything I need. Why am I so sad? I'm like, everything that's normal in my life has been shaken up. And so we have to be respectful of when we have changes like that in our lives. We have to give ourselves time to process. Absolutely. And if we don't give ourselves time to process, we're just going to hit self-combustion time. And it's just a point where you're just like, okay, I have to process this. And for me, that means making something.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I love how you said that you learned early on that you needed that time to create so that you could be the mother and the wife that you want to be. And I feel the same way. And I think that we need that constant reminder that, that it's okay to mourn. It's okay to process, and it's okay to prioritize and schedule the things that are really important. So yeah, thank you. That was great. And then just couple other things that you've shared. When, you know, when people are considering art, whether it's for a degree or they want to change direction in their life. What are your thoughts about ways that creatives can go after their passion?
Yeah, I highly recommend university education if you can do it. If it's not at a point where you can, there are so many other opportunities. Just keep learning. Yeah. The more you learn, the more you expose yourself to other artists and other techniques, and go out, see what's being done locally, go to craft fairs, go to art fairs, go to galleries, see what's there and see what speaks to you and try different techniques. And even I still try to take workshops. And, you know, I, about 7 years ago, went out and took an architectural ceramics course from Peter King, who does these fabulous monuments, memorials. And I learned all his techniques so that I can build really large with ceramics and do like architectural details inside of house, like fireplace surrounds and backsplashes for kitchens and all these things. And then I was able to do a tile mural for my kids' school. And it was because I took a workshop and learned how to do those techniques. And I'm so grateful for my toolbox being so full because I took all those different classes at BYU. And I can say, okay, I have this project, and which medium, which one is going to be the best? And the thing is too, is, yeah, I work, I have my work at a guild, and we have represent 90 different artists there. And some of them are just started in their retirement and started being artists, but they have really amazing work. Mm-hmm. And it's just something they've always loved or something they just got into. And it doesn't take being an artist all your life to be an artist. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, everybody has a unique view on the world, and that's what your art does, is it brings, you know, brings your thoughts on the world forward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. And that's great advice. I think you're right. Keep learning, keep reaching out, notice things around you and see what you want to go after. I don't think that we showed them your watercolor pieces. Should we share some of those? And then while she's pulling those up, Tracy has a website where you can get to many of these things. You can get, you know, she's got local galleries, but then she also has an Etsy shop where she sells her watercolors. And then she has a Red Bubble store where you can buy stickers and clothing with her art on it. Other fun things for like your computer and hats. And I don't know, I know I'm missing a ton of stuff, but
they have everything.
If you want to put art on it, you can find it in Tracy's Redbubble shop.
Yes. You can even have a shower curtain with my artwork.
Yes, you can have a shower curtain. Aren't these fun? So yeah.
This is, I moved to Tucson 16 years ago, and I fell in love with the life that there is so much variety of life in the Sonoran Desert. It's just mind blowing. We have almost, I think we have the most hummingbird species in all of the country. And you think, we're in a desert. How is that even possible? But wow. Because we get these summer monsoons, yeah, where we get all these flowers blooming through the summer. And so I have been doing these art studies of all these different animals and plants of the area and some of the buildings of the area. There's in Tucson, south of Tucson, there's the San Xavier del Bac. It's a Catholic, it's an old mission that, cool, it's from the 1700s, and you go inside and it's like folk art Baroque, which is the coolest thing you've ever seen. And you're just like, feel like you've gone back in time or going to Europe, but it's folk art because, you know, that's, yeah, what the artisans could do. And so they've got these kind of bizarrely coolly demented cherubs everywhere that it's a cool place. But
fun.
If you go to Tucson, go to that. And so I just am frequently working on doing these little paintings of different creatures in this area. And so these are kind of my fun studies where I let the watercolor, you know, I have a lot of tight detail, but then I lots of splashes of color. I love color. Mm-hmm. And, but then I, like I said, my ceramics is kind of my soul work where I work out my emotions, and my watercolor is my play work. So.
Oh, they're beautiful. Yeah. I paint a lot of birds myself. And so I'm like totally, I'm loving all of these pieces that you've done. These are amazing. Yeah. So special. Let's see, what else have we missed? Let's talk about upcoming series and projects that you have on the horizon.
Yeah. Hopefully we get the jury results soon, and I find out that hopefully that piece will be in the next international art competition. And then I am in a local show called Earth at our Tohono Chul Gardens. They have some galleries there. And then I will keep continuing painting my Sonoran Desert Life series. And I'm always adding to that. And those are always on my Etsy shop. And I sell prints in all different sizes. I have a G-Clay printer, so I can print things on nice archival paper. And then my female sculptures, they're just kind of, I do them on commission and also as needed for therapy.
That's great.
Working on.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, yeah, if you want to reach out to Tracy, if you're interested in commissioning a piece, she's got a contact form on her website, and also you can get to her, like I said, to her other shops. And then, she does have an Instagram as well as a Facebook. Do you want to tell them the names? And then I'll have all the links in the show notes.
Yeah. And, on Instagram, I'm just at Tracy Ann Holmes, and it's the simple way of spelling Tracy and Ann without E's. So just TracyAnnHolmes. And then for Facebook, you can just look me up, Tracy Ann Holmes, and look for the artist underneath. And there's a ceramic figurine head as the person. And then my website is just TracyAnnHolmes.com. And that leads you to my Etsy's and my Redbubble site, and also the contact form.
Oh, that's great. Well, Tracy, this has been such a feast. It's been so fun to go through so much of your work and to get to hear all the stories and the process and the symbolism, and to just, like, you know, just get to hear your heart. And I just want to say thank you from all of us women, not just for participating in the Certain Women Show, but for your life's work, for supporting women, for just being there for them to talk about the hard things that we face as women, whether it's seasons, whether it's cultural, whether it's the spiritual challenges that we face. Your pieces, your work just totally exemplifies and just gives support to women. And I'm just so grateful for everything that you've done. So thank you.
Thanks for inviting me. This has been a lot of fun and a great time visiting with you.
All right. Well, thank you again. And just want to send so much love from the Candy Colored Studio here in Midway, Utah, as well as Tracy's beautiful home and studio just outside of Tucson. And we just want to send you guys love and have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Goodbye, everyone. All right, here's your weekly red pill. So the question today is, could Google, like the search engine, be curated? Okay, so I guess if it is, what are the positives and what are the negative results of a curated search engine? Now, how would you go about figuring that out? One thing you could do is pick a controversial topic, something that you know that it's pretty strong. People have strong opinions on both sides, and then put it into Google and see what comes up, and then also put it into some other search engines. It could be Yahoo, it could be DuckDuckGo, and then see what what the difference is between the different search engines. Okay. Again, there's no right or wrong answers. This is a journey. This is an invitation to ask questions, to critically think, and to find out what's really going on. Okay, that's your red pill for the week. Google the search engine. Is it curated?